Welcome back to the LuchaCast presented by Yeti, built for the wild. Visit yeti.com to check out gear that'll help you travel farther, camp longer, and live harder. No matter where the wild takes you, Yeti is ready to tackle your next adventure head on. Welcome back, the first postseason edition of the LuchaCast powered by Yeti. I'm Billy Lucci. He's Ryan Broninger. This is a special recruiting edition LuchaCast, and we will be talking today exclusively, basically setting the stage for the countdown to signing day. We're here. It's midday Sunday afternoon. Recruits are still on campus. This is the last on-campus day of the early cycle of the 2022 class. And for A&M and Jimbo Fisher and his staff, they are looking forward to a potentially very, very big day on Wednesday. Maybe closing out, nothing's closed out this time of year, but maybe ending the early signing period as the number one class, if not making a real run at both Georgia and Alabama for that top spot. And who knows, Bronny? They had a commit between now and the time Dalton and Zane get this thing edited. They actually, with the guys that are likely to sign early, if they get one of them between now and the time we post this, they will move into the number one spot. Assuming Bama and Georgia didn't add one at the same time.
Well, you think about the guests, is what I'm thinking about, the guests that you've had on the LuchaCast and how big of those names have been, and I'm sitting in here doing this, should tell you about the importance of what's going on campus, right?
Yeah, it does.
So all the stuff that you mentioned, my phone's been going crazy. I'm sure yours has over the course of the weekend. We reported earlier, broke the news, Denver Harris makes his way up. That's something that they'd been working on for the majority of the week and that needed to be kept under wraps, as those things, you know, need to be done that way, because –
competition is as stiff as it's...
If it leaks, then LSU and Texas start blowing his phone up and you may not get him to College Station.
Well, that's always, you know, that's always the case this time of year, and it goes both ways. I'm sure A&M was doing everything they could to get someone like Kelvin Banks to stop through on his way to Austin. It works the other way around. It's really fascinating right now, these battles. Everybody's dealing with a little something, right? A&M, Mike Elko leaves on Friday.
Watch, I think that of all the stuff that's happened, that might be the biggest news of the weekend, is the reception that we've gotten from sources and the kids, you know, directly about kind of how that was conveyed and then their response, and what Jimbo and TJ Rushing had come in right behind, and Tyler Santucci, and kind of made some reassurances.
And Elijah Robinson is a big part of that as well. So the message has been consistent. The message is a message that they're going to stick to. You know, Jimbo Fisher's the head coach. They're going to run a defense. They're going to run a defense that he's comfortable with. He doesn't call the defense. He doesn't meddle on the defense. That's what makes part of what makes the job so attractive. But he does get to decide what kind of defense they run, and it's going to be as close to as humanly possible to what they've been running, because he's comfortable with that. He likes it. He thinks it fits their style of play best. It fits their personnel and talent best. And they're going to go on a search to find who can come in and execute that kind of defense without any fall off. And then also there's Tyler Santucci sitting here as well, and Elijah Robinson, who are going to play a big part of this defense moving forward. But the key right now is I don't think they'll hire someone by Wednesday. I think the key right now is signing this class and then using it, you know, moving forward to help you, you know, when you're going out to look for coach, if that's the route you go, and you go out there and you say that's the enticement, or a big part of it is, hey, oh, by the way, and we've talked about it, they have the potential to make this one of the not only the best class in school history, but the best defensive class in school history, and one of the best that anybody's really
I think we
signed.
Said that on one of the in-home visits recently. I said, if you go and look at it right now, as things stand with 3 days left, if they don't add anybody else, and they're going to, but if they didn't, it'd still be the best class in school history.
Oh, no question.
Right now you're sitting at 4 or 5 stars. What's the most they've ever signed in a class? 3?
Probably.
Was it Kyler, Christian?
Dalen. It was maybe Kyler, Dalen, and one more.
Was Christian Kirk not that class? Was he behind? Anyway, but it's
– they were both freshmen together.
So it's –
Christian Kirk was Arizona State game, 5-star blew up. Kyler came into that game. Yeah, those were the 3.
Okay. Well, incredible.
Anyway, point being, and it goes without saying, this thing – and they're not done. They're not going to stop off mm-hmm. where they're at. We know that, and that's what we're here to talk about today. But I was talking about the change. So A&M has, they're dealing with that. What Oklahoma's dealing with is insane right now. Not only a head coach just bailing, but then trying to put a staff together. People aren't excited about what he did at D.C. with a guy like Ted Roof. They're losing commits right and left. You talk now, that's losing a head coach. That's a big difference. And see, that's a huge selling point, I believe, for Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies to say, yeah, we lost to D.C. because he got a head coaching job and he was really good. You know, like
it, that isn't it isn't some kind of knock that Mike Elko leaves to go get a Power 5 job. So Texas fans that are inevitably listening to this, that ain't the flex that you think it is.
No, there's a lot of weird flexing over things that you don't flex over.
Especially when you lose at home to Kansas, your head coach is 51-42 overall.
It's just like
six game losing streak, all that stuff.
Well, it's just like getting Quinn Ewers isn't the flex you think it is when you have to pay multiple millions of dollars to keep him from going to Texas Tech. It's good, and it's good. I think it'll pay off as long as he doesn't clear out that entire quarterback room and then get in.
Have a hard time convincing me to stay if that was somebody coming in $4 million behind him.
I think we go off in the weeds on that, but yeah, losing Mike Elko was not something to sit here and downplay and trivialize, but it didn't mean that the class was going to fall apart. It never meant that. That was just a Twitter message board narrative that a lot of times is not real life. All it does sometimes is it causes coaches to have to go in there and combat that because it is what a lot of the kids look at. These guys were comfortable in it, and we talked about the whys. It's because of the individual jobs these coaches on the defensive side of the ball we're doing with recruits. It's Tyler Santucci's relationship with Perk and Marshall Harris and Ish Harris. It's Elijah Robinson and Terry Price and their relationships with the D linemen they're recruiting. It's TJ Rushing and his relationship with guys.
And he has been getting after it.
He has.
In the midst of
all
this,
Mike. Kind of an unsung guy, right?
Absolutely.
Well, look, here's where we're at. And I was mentioning, too, OU's got that going on.
LSU.
Clemson's losing coaches right and left. We know what's going on at LSU, and there's as of right now, they don't even have a DC. Am I correct?
Not that I've seen, they've hired one.
So a lot of A&M's in Texas, for as much as, and they're having a good weekend, a really good weekend on the recruiting front, if we're just calling facts facts, but they're over there celebrating and just ignoring the entire reality that is that situation. And I know it's, we're just excited. No, you've turned this into a national championship already. And you're ignoring the why that you're getting those guys. So that everyone in the area has had to kind of navigate through something or the other. And I think A&M's, not to discredit, how I think about Elko. I think he's the best DC A&M's had here since Bob Davey. And I was big Tim DeRuiter guy, but I think he's the best DC they've had since Bob Davey. That goes back, early 90s.
Yeah.
But compared to everything else, what A&M's dealing with is the least. And the best selling point that Jimbo Fisher has is I stayed. I did not take LSU. Now it's out that they offered him $13 million a year. I stayed here because of what's happening here. And nothing's changed, and I think the recruits have gotten that message. And now here's the question. How high can the Aggies go from now, Sunday afternoon, till Wednesday?
I also think Jimbo has, because he stayed and because he looked them in the eye and said, I'm not going anywhere, when schools like Texas were saying, hey, you need to come look at us again. Jimbo may be going to LSU.
They didn't
Jimbo,
say maybe.
No, they did. They didn't. Yeah. They said, Jimbo's going to LSU. Come back and look at us. And he looked him in the eye and said he wasn't going anywhere. So now, whenever he calls Bryce Anderson, he calls Bobby Taylor, he calls Jared Kerr.
The trust level's
through the roof. And I think that's playing a part in what you're seeing this weekend in the response to Mike Elko's departure.
Yeah, because he had to make individual head phone calls from the head man to say, hey, look, here's the situation. Here's the deal. We were hoping to keep him. He went. And I like the fact that Mike Elko is at Duke right now and not after signing day
absolutely.
And that crap. Mike Elko wouldn't have done that. Jimbo, you know the behind the scenes that goes on in a lot of these recruitments. Jimbo's not about that. So but at the same time, if he would have gone to Duke, it was on Duke's timetable. had they waited on a couple guys and then gone back to Elko, maybe it would have worked out that way and it would have been a bad look. I like the fact that it happened before the weekend and all these guys that are here. And to be honest, Bronny, what we've heard a lot about, it really hasn't even come up with the guys on campus this weekend.
I know Bobby was like, hey, you know, TJ Rushing called me, Jimbo Fisher called me. We're good. I'm good. And, you know, Bryce Anderson was at National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas.
Which, by the way, nothing I love more than I mean, he's what Bryce is bringing background and what he's bringing to the table.
You'd imagine there's going to be some NIL opportunities based on, you know, that passion that he's got.
Right.
But I also think that we need to talk about, like, I know Mike Elko called Bryce Anderson and said, hey, I'm taking this job. Yeah. And I haven't gotten the full story yet, but I believe he told him, hey, A&M's still a really good spot for you.
I don't, can't imagine anything else he'd say. I'd actually heard that one of the last things Elko said, you know, was, what do I need to do? I'll do anything y'all need me to do in terms of this class.
Yep.
Not surprising to you or I.
No,
or
anybody great. Just kind of duty is.
Yeah. And I think that's
and the kind of appreciation he had for the school, the town, what they are building here. And you saw it in his kind of going away letter. A&M's building a monster, and it's not done yet. So that continuity with the staff and Elijah Robinson, Tyler Santucci have been at the forefront. But like you said, TJ Rushing, unsung hero, and we know the kind of pedigree Terry Price has had for so long. So we're sitting here on Sunday filming this with guys like Cam Dewberry and Denver Harris still on campus.
Yep.
Shamar Stewart just left this morning. Eni White, after missing a flight, was able to come in. We're talking about elite Jihad Campbell. I don't know if he's left yet, but we're talking the, like, we're not talking good prospects. We're talking top flight across
counting
the country.
Counting commits. And do this in your head without it being bad audio. So you need, we both need to team up and think fast and not step on each. Pull up, you have the visit list in front of you. Pull it up while I'm talking. This is an official visit list. It doesn't compare to what was here for the pool party. It doesn't compare to what was here for the Alabama game. The Prairie View game had a hell of a turnout. But for this weekend, the weekend before signing day, I can't remember as much talent being on campus. So when you get and pull up the list of visitors, I look, if you're talking about top 20 players in the entire country, I can think of what you've got. Denver Harris, Harold Perkins, Shamar Stewart. Three of the top 20 prospects in the entire country. When you're talking about top 50 or so, then I think, you know, you add Eni White, you're up to four in that department.
Connor Wigman.
You're up to five. So at least five top 50 recruits in the country. You push that out to national top 100, and you've got Chris Marshall. You've got Cam Dewberry. Now you're up to at least seven. That's just off the top of my head. You've got seven. Minimum national top 100 prospects on campus. You've got five top 50, and you've got three of the top 15 players in the country there.
I'm searching through the staff threads and trying to find it.
Well, you can't find it, so it's okay. You get the gist of it. An incredible amount of talent on hand this weekend. Just before, I didn't mention Walter Nolan and Smoke Bowie.
Yep.
So it's four of the top 15.
And Evan Stewart.
Five of the top. See, this is why I wanted you to pull the damn list out. Five of the top 15 players in America, right? Walter Nolan, Evan Stewart, Denver Harris, Harold Perkins, and Shamar Stewart. Five of the top 15 recruits in the country are here right now, this weekend. And then, like we said, you add in Connor Wigman, Smoke Bowie, and Eni White. At least eight top 50 guys, five top 15, eight top 50, and you're looking at around 10 national top 100. That's incredible. 10% of the top 100 players in the country are here on campus this weekend. That's how A&M's recruiting right now, folks. It's incredible. Let's dive into this then and talk about from now till signing day kind of what we think might happen and what can happen. There's still a lot of potential movement in a lot of areas where A&M can move up. Bama's going to get a couple. Georgia's got 24. It's not like they're going to get that many more. And A&M jumps Georgia with one. Their next commit, if Bama and Georgia hold, A&M goes up to number one.
Yeah,
Georgia can't go up that high. I think A&M, by the early signing day, passes Georgia. I think they're at one or two when the early signing period
ends. Yeah, and you look behind them, there's Ohio State who's got 18 commits. Yeah. They may add 10 more.
They could rally.
So they could rally and fight you for that top spot. But just looking at the pool of players that are still remaining for A&M, I can't imagine anybody jumping them from behind. Like, it's who is the lowest rated guy of all the dudes that we're looking at here? Is it Cam Dewberry?
No, we're talking it's probably out of what they're rated, and Cam Dewberry's a top 70 player in the
country. That's what I'm saying. Like, Anthony the floor is Cam Dewberry?
Anthony Lucas is 60.
Shamar Stewart, Harold Perkins, Denver Harris.
Oh, by the way, in our little count up, we forgot about Jihad Campbell, so add him to those numbers as well. Another national title. He's right there around Dewberry.
Yep.
Is he the lowest out of a guy that was just committed to Clemson that's probably choosing between A&M and Bama? Crazy. You know how big a deal Cam Dewberry is. You know how big a deal Anthony Lucas is. You're fighting off, you know, an in-state rival for Dewberry. You're fighting off Alabama for Anthony Lucas. You're fighting off Ohio State for Eni White. LSU in Texas for Denver Harris. And then, you know, you talk the guys that are planning to sign later, like Harold and Shamar. But these are monster mega battles that A&M's fighting. And Bronny, I really like the Aggies' chances.
Something just flew right in my eye. That was crazy. Go ahead.
I mean,
you didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
You would have made fun of me. It landed right on my eyeball. Go ahead. Keep going. That was crazy.
I'm sure Yeti's got something for that.
Yeah.
You could wear like a face shield to keep. You have those.
You'd like that.
Yeah. I think you should start wearing it so we don't get that disruption ever again.
That was crazy. Go ahead.
You handled it pretty well considering you once canceled an entire recruiting trip because you got bit by a spider.
That's not the whole reason, but your embellished reason. Go ahead.
Really, I got bit by a spider on my arm. I decided to come home. That must have been a hell of a spider.
It was a big spider bite.
It's either a recluse or a black widow, or you're staying on that recruiting trip. Well, but instead, it sent you packing. You've been sent home by rain, spider bites. Now we got.
I'm not going to send home by rain.
Are you sure we don't need to cut this thing off?
No, yeah, we need to get back on. I shouldn't have even done anything.
You did. It's your fault.
Should let the bug sit on my eye.
You can't pull me. I'm like a little kid. You can't pull me off of the off task here.
Believe me, the phone calls are getting worse.
Bronny, for those of y'all listening, this is Bronny. Billy, I've been on the phone for an hour and a half with you. Well, Ryan, it's 3 days till signing day. I'm sorry to bother you on your Sunday.
It has more to do with I'm getting the
nonsense
more, or just
about Griffin chasing squirrels.
No,
and stuff.
It's the more the when you call me and I answer and I was like, "What's up?" And it's immediately, "Let me call you back."
Yeah, that's good.
That's a classic.
Yeah, I'm known for that. So anyway, what's left now? The guys that plan to sign on Wednesday, as of now, are Eni White and Denver Harris. I mean, I'm sorry. Sierra.
Well, we anticipate Denver. He has not confirmed that.
No, that's
with
what
us.
I'm saying. Eni White and Cam Dewberry. I think we fully expect to sign wherever they go on Wednesday. Denver Harris is the one that I think is kind of like he and Anthony Lucas are the two that were kind of expecting to sign somewhere, you know, on Wednesday, but not 100% positive.
And hopefully I'll talk to Denver later today and we'll get some kind of confirmation there one way
which
or the
would
other.
Be great. And then Perk and Shamar Stewart and Jacoby Matthews are three guys, by the way, 3 5-stars on defense. Jacoby just off that cut line. 3 5-star caliber guys on defense that'll wait until February or even if, you know, I don't think any of them, maybe Perk could do a sneak early sign.
You know how that's going to go, though.
Yeah.
If Perk signs early, there's no chance that's being kept under wraps.
The people that don't get him that out in as they invariably do. So,
and even if it's not intentional, like let's say he doesn't pick A&M, A&M is going to go start offering other linebackers. They're going to start bringing in other linebackers.
Two and two together,
it's pretty obvious.
Anywho, that and we also don't know when Jihad Campbell.
And we haven't brought up one name still, Keontae Goodwin.
Yep, you're right. We have not mentioned him. Another one that's a borderline fight. He was at Michigan State this weekend.
Everything we've heard.
Kentucky commit. I think if you made me bet money, I think he'd stick with Kentucky. That's been such a long time commitment. I do think if A&M really, really ramped it up, they could get him. So it's but I think Henson,
it's going to be
Jimbo
A&M or Kentucky is what we
And I think if Henson, Jimbo, and A&M can get Cam Dewberry to go along with the three O-line commits, I think they'd feel ecstatic about that group of four. Dewberry's a big deal. I think there's a big swing between three and four. I think that's a very significant head-to-head between A&M and Texas.
Just that's a kid that everybody knows because he's been on the radar since early in his sophomore
ninth
year.
Ninth grade.
When he was playing opposite of Kenyon. And it's kind of funny now that Atascocita has another one right behind Cam and a kid named Nate Kibble who's going to be – it's like they're just producing offensive linemen.
Elite ones,
yeah.
But and I think he is an elite O-line prospect, and this is a guy that A&M's been recruiting for multiple years now. He's been a priority, so that would be a big deal. I like the fact that he was here all weekend. I like A&M's chances in this. Obviously, nothing's done until it's done, until Cam announces.
He stayed the night, and he stayed up to this point. Well, it's 1:30 today.
A lot of people had him going. A lot of people in Austin assumed he was ending up there this weekend. So yeah,
talked to a source that would know from Houston about that recruitment, and he's staying in town to hang out with Denver Harris.
Things are significant when – you know, when you get that visit and Denver Harris is here and Cam Dewberry's here, I do think there it speaks volumes.
And Harold Perkins stayed the night.
And Harold Perkins.
And Chris Marshall. They both came up after basketball games yesterday, which we forget. We talk about Chris being an elite basketball player. Perk on the basketball floor is, as you'd expect, with his athleticism. Perk and Chris Marshall mesh real well together.
Yeah.
They kind of have that chip on their shoulder all the time. Mm-hmm. They know that. They know that they're just like each other. And so Chris staying the night. I don't know that Perk came into town expecting to stay the night.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when Chris said, yeah, I'm going to stay, I think Perk said, all right, I'll stay with you.
So Dewberry, I really like A&M's chances as we come down the stretch here. The same, I would say, with Eni White. Anthony Lucas, I think coming out of that in-house visit, it felt like a really good vibe.
Yeah, we heard Jimbo and TP killed it. Yep.
So their position, really great there. And then who was there was fourth one in Denver. So Denver is the fascinating one to me because A&M's come out of, it was a horse race. They in the home stretch, they came from way back, and you could see them coming and making up ground. It's like, can they get there in time?
Reminds you of Evan Stewart.
Yeah, and I really think they passed the field up, you know, maybe even a couple weeks ago.
He came up for Prairie View, man.
And then they've done a great job. They've done a great job with him since. You mentioned rushing. I would say Jimbo Fisher as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really outstanding relationships there between player, family, and coach. That always bodes well. So again, we've done this long enough where we're not going to put out any crystal balls. We're not going to follow the trends on Twitter or people, you know, piling on in a moment. But just to sit here and say, those are two guys that if signing day were right now, I would say I love A&M's chances there. And signing day is only 3 days out, so. You're trending the right way at the right time, without question. I could certainly see a group that they sign next week with the D linemen, with Denver, and with Cam. And if they do that, that's the number one class in the country early. And then you go into the second part, recruiting about 3-5 stars on defense. And to be honest with you, Bronny, if you get one of those, I think you're finishing number one. And
unquestionably, there'll be a name pop up in that second window that maybe we haven't talked about in a while or at all, mm-hmm. or maybe it's a big-time name out of the transfer portal that all of a sudden A&M's a really attractive spot for.
Well, I think the portal is a whole nother discussion for us to have mm-hmm. after Wednesday because obviously not just A&M, but everyone else is going to be active. There are going to be spots where the Aggies go after certain guys and try to get, you know, upgrade. It's what it is now. It's a game that is as important as the recruiting process, especially for the upcoming season. So that'll be a fun off-season. I say off-season, I mean as soon as after the early mm-hmm. signing date. I think because there's only a couple targets left for A&M, that's going to be a lot of our January focus will be. And by the way, that's early January, as in the start of the new year, because so many of these transfer guys are going to want to be here by January 15th or whatever semester, that date is when the spring semester starts. So there's going to be a lot crammed in.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, because I was talking to Connor Wigman's dad yesterday, and I was like, man, y'all are moving in a month, because Jimbo Fisher and Daryl Dickey went in home with them yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And then Connor and Andrew Molesky made the drive up here. But I was like, I'm talking to his dad. I said, y'all are up here in a month. And he was like, yeah, don't tell mama that. You know, she's starting to, like, it's really starting to hit some of these kids and these parents that, I mean, Connor Wigman's an A&M player, probably going to at least a couple of baseball workouts in less than a month. Was what Connor does in the spring in terms of baseball intrigue you at all? I mean, I know his most of his time will be spent with football.
Yeah, that's – hell yeah, it intrigues me, because I think he's good enough to start for Jim Schlossnagel's baseball team. Not a guarantee, but he's certainly good enough to.
Yeah.
But you're the one that's plugged into kind of where his – where he's been at mentally in terms of what he wants to do, because
I know he's not coming in here to try to be a backup.
There's a QB battle.
Right.
So fascinating stuff. You're recruiting at this level. Connor Wigman is going to be joined by a long list of names of guys that are coming in here in hopes of winning a starting job or getting on the field from day one. And the crazy thing is that this is a pretty loaded roster in terms of talent. But Texas A&M has never seen a class like this. And if Jimbo Fisher finishes this thing out, adding three or four of these names between now and signing day to the current class, I'll go so far as to say Jimbo Fisher has never been a part of a recruiting class like this.
Yeah.
And that remember what I'm saying there. Remember the players he recruited at Florida State. He lived in the top six there, I think only 1 year in his entire tenure, and that might have been his very first year. Was he not in the top six? And on top of that, he was at LSU with Nick Saban. I don't know. He had a class 1 year where he had Marcus Spears and Mark Clayton.
Yep.
I don't know, and we'd have to look it up, but I don't know that he's ever – if he closes with three of these four, much less all four, even without the second part of that in January, this might be the best class not only A&M's ever signed, but the best class Jimbo signed. And Bronny, it's got a chance – to be one of the best classes anyone has signed.
You know, one of the things we talked to, brought up on the running recruiting thread this weekend was the moments that have led up to this. What are they? Obviously the Alabama game, and then you can get in specifics, whether it was the Seth Small kick or the Devon Achane kick return.
Yeah.
But the recruiting moments, the pool party was number one. That got the ball started, and it got it rolling with Walter Nolan and Bobby Taylor being in town and really starting to pull some guys with him, right? The second thing was the Bama game, but the weekend that really set it off, and what I started believing, okay, they can pull this off, was Auburn.
Yeah.
When you got Walter Nolan and Chris Marshall back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next big domino to fall was Evan Stewart out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and then it's Gabe Brownlow Dindy out of nowhere. It's like,
yeah,
we're talking about where did it all start was the pool party, no question.
Think about
these were big moments along the way.
Like, moments there was Dindy, you know, Brownlow Dindy, Nolan, Stewart. I mean, gosh, those are like just thunderbolts.
Yep.
I mean, just absolute. Bryce Anderson's commitment was a big, big deal.
Oh, you could go individually. And that's something
Connor Wigman.
Getting to him that early was big.
And not so much, and we'll talk about a lot of this during the week when we're talking. Not so much that, like, Wigman was a big deal, but he got even bigger and bigger and bigger as his stock kept rising in the recruiting stuff. But it was just, I think more than like the impact and the long-term impact of having your QB in the fold was obviously massive. It's always good.
And we'll probably see that in 23 as well.
With Eli Holstein, yeah. But, who by the way, recently minted state champion quarterback Eli Holstein.
And MVP.
Awesome for him. I know from talking to his dad, that was a just dream, the goal for them all season. And he got it. But the thing about Connor, what was a big deal, this weekend, the whole focus in Austin is on Quinn Ewers. You know, A&M essentially turned down the opportunity to take Ewers twice. Once before he went to Ohio State and once here recently. And it's not – Quinn Ewers is a complete stud.
Very gifted.
Very gifted. So is Connor Wigman. And so is Cade Klubnik. You know, obviously, you watched what he did this weekend for Westlake, going to Clemson right there out of Austin. But the reason why A&M did that is because Jimbo Fisher was all in on Connor Wigman. Yeah, had a Ewers committed, you know, when they first offered him way back when. Obviously, that's your guy. You go in with him. They went in with Connor Wigman. They offered Klubnik and Wigman in the same couple day span. Just the connection immediately between Jimbo and Connor, and people thought he was going to OU, and that changed in a span of one offer and one conversation. And the head coach has not looked back, and the quarterback has not looked back. And that, to me, was the significance of it, of saying, man, we found our guy, and this is him. And that was, I mean, it's rare that there's that much competition in this state at that position. So those careers will be really fun to follow. I think A&M got the perfect fit for Texas A&M.
And we're going to do this through the week, and obviously on Wednesday on the radio show, as you start, the signatures start coming in, and we're going to talk individually about when they got them and what they all meant. But all these kids have a really unique story, and even the group of kids they took early, like Martrell, Noah, Hunter Erb, we're going to talk about the evaluations.
Yeah.
And in a class that's going to be historic, you took those commitments really early because you believed in what you saw on tape. Mm-hmm. You believed in what they were going to project to be. And all three of those kids paid you back big time with what they put on tape as seniors.
No question.
Absolutely. So,
no doubt about it.
I know my phone's still going off. We're going to – stuff we're chasing down the rest of the afternoon.
Stay tuned the rest of – again, the next 3 days. It's as fun as it's been. It's going to be as active as it's been. We're not talking about A&M sitting around waiting on one guy. We're talking about four, maybe even five, and we're a little over 48 hours out, from National Signing Day. We're, 72? No. I mean, 48 hours, it's Signing Day Eve.
Richard's got an abacus if you want one.
I don't know what y'all's discussion was today about abacus and things, but it's absolutely unnecessary.
He thinks he's really funny.
I wish these guys would drill down and get some actual – I mean, you guys are back there wailing on vuvuzelas the other day.
That's, again, Richard.
Yeah, there is a –
he's a problem, Billy.
You know what everybody wants these days is to become Barstool.
Yeah.
And no one could tell you better than Casey Smith that while there may be some similarities between anything that goes on here and Barstool, it is a light night and day difference. And what I've always told people is, we don't have the personalities to pull that off, so we ain't going
to
try.
You don't think we need to put Olin on camera more?
No. We don't have the personalities to pull that off. We're not going to try. So some of these guys, they think that's what this place is. It ain't.
Barstool Zane.
And yeah, and you try to bring that over here, and it's going to get just pounded out of you. So, but we are going to have a lot of fun between now and signing day. So stay tuned. The running recruiting thread, the updates. Yep. I'll be working on class grades. Bronny and I went through that. Let me give you a spoiler alert. There's going to be a lot of A grades and higher. You guys know every once in a while I'll do the A++. It's very rare. I might be doing two positions of A++ this year.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the word that you use. You may just go away from a grade altogether and use one word. So
yeah, there is a position where historic might come into play.
There you go.
So, and I think that could be maybe the grade of the entire class before all is said and done if certain dominoes fall into place this weekend. So he's Ryan Broninger. I'm Billy Lucci. Stay tuned. TexAgs.com. Follow us all on Twitter. This is the Lucci Cast powered by Yeti.